I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis 42. Genesis 42. I'd like to look at one verse of Scripture, verse 15. Joseph is speaking to his brothers. He says, "Hereby you shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. You shall not go forth hence except your youngest brother come hither." The Spirit of God moved upon a man named Moses to pen this book. Moses was a man just like all of us. He struggled, saw his frailty. But God moved upon him to set forth the truth of God's mercy to a people of God's choosing, that those people might be made to know and behold the mystery of God's sovereign grace, beginning from the existence or the creation of man. God was pleased to show mercy to his people. Now, through these scriptures, we've been taught that God historically sent a famine that was in all the world. But remember, that's a picture of the famine of the Word of God, the hearing of the words of God. Now, how would we know that there was a famine today in this world? There's a famine in this world. And the only way we know that is God's told us that. He said, "I'm going to send a famine. Not of bread and water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." But I want you to consider, and we're going to get to that 15th verse in just a second, but I want us to remember the particular mercy of God. This passage of Scripture is dealing with a particular family, a particular man, a particular sons of that man. Consider the mercy of God that speaks of one man. His name was Jacob. That's what verse 1 said. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do you look one unto another? Behold, I've heard that there's corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die." One man saw, one man heard, one man instructed. Of all the other people in the world, Spirit of God didn't mention anybody else concerning going to meet Joseph. A bunch of them went to meet Joseph. Joseph was the only one you could come to. Nobody else could distribute the corn. You had to go to Joseph. That's what Pharaoh said. "You got a problem? You go see Joseph. Don't come see me." But here was this one man, thought of God, to know the only place of hope. Now, that one man is a beautiful picture of God's people that see and know where there's hope, and it's hope only in Christ. I looked at that in all of the world. The famine was in all of the world. But here's one man that God was pleased to talk about in this passage of Scripture. Can it be that God would reveal his mercy? Just one man. Turn back to Genesis 6:5. This passage still just amazes me. Genesis 6:5 to verse 8. Genesis 6, 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But one man in all of the earth found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was just as guilty as all of us. Noah's heart was just as black as all of us. But God was pleased to show mercy. God delights in mercy. He delights in it. Did Noah deserve in himself to be destroyed? Absolutely. You know the answer to that. Absolutely. Why was he not destroyed? Because God found grace. God looked upon Noah in mercy, in Christ. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But you know what? God Almighty has always been pleased to show mercy to this world for the sake of one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our passage of Scripture, Joseph is a picture of Christ. Joseph is the man that everybody's going to have to see. And Jacob's 10 sons, the Scripture says, was sent to this man, Joseph. Providentially, God is going to meet all of the needs of his people. And Joseph sees his brothers, his brethren, and he knows them. They don't know him. He makes himself strange to them. He speaks roughly to them. He's going to show them something, but we're going to see something too. Joseph said concerning his brethren, they're there to buy corn. He asked them, where are you from? Oh, we're from Canaan, and we're here. We're the sons of one man, and there's one of our brothers is still there, and there's one of our brothers is not. He's not here anymore. They're looking at him. They don't know who he is. He knows them. He said, you spies. Your spies. You're here to spy out this land. You're here to see the nakedness of this land. I know what you're here for. No. No, we're true men. We're honest. We're correct. We're right. We're upright. And Joseph tells them in verse 15, hereby you shall be proved. Oh, you're going to be examined. I heard what you said. Concerning yourself. I heard what you said. Where are you from? But you're going to be scrutinized. You're going to be tested. Joseph knew where they were from. He knows everything about them. But for their sake and for their cause to have to walk in this world in submission to Joseph, they're going to be tried by fire, but this is all a beautiful picture. The Lord who knows his own, he knows the faith that they have. He gave it to them. All men have not faith. It's given unto you to believe. So Joseph's brethren are hemmed up. They're in Egypt. They're staying in a place that they're just there to buy food. That's all they want. We're going to buy food and we're leaving. They're hemmed up, not as criminals of Egypt, but rather hemmed up because of the compassion that Joseph would show them. These men are in a dilemma. Again, they were just there to buy food. And he said, I'm going to prove, I'm going to test you. I'm going to make proof of you. He's these men held fast in Egypt. And while that's a dilemma to them, their daddy's waiting on them. Come back and bring the corn. But these men are being hemmed up and held by Joseph. And surely they're looking at this as a heartache. But what safety? Joseph's got them. Joseph is going to hold on to them and protect them. And though he's speaking to them in a harsh way, seemingly harsh way and humbling way, if we look at their state and the glorious position of safety and joy found within the hearts of these men later when they realize what Joseph's done for them, they don't know now. They don't know. They don't realize now what's going on. But oh, the mercy that's being shown these men. I want you to turn to Ephesians 4. These men are actually his prisoners, is what they are. The prisoners of love. And Ephesians chapter 4, look at verses 1 to 3. Listen to what Paul the Apostle says. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Now, what he's saying is, we've been called to be prisoners of the Lord. That, normally speaking, when you hear somebody's a prisoner, that's usually a kind of a slur, kind of not a good thing. But here Paul says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called to be a prisoner. You're called to be a prisoner of the Lord. And walk with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So this is a glorious calling to be called a prisoner of the Lord. I'm going to prove you, Joseph said. You're going to be proved. Now, we all admit with the Apostle Paul that this blessing of being a prisoner and being proven is one that usually flies in the face of our flesh. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11 says this. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. No trial of our faith. And we're going to be proven. We're all going to be proven. That's what Joseph told them. He said, you're going to be proven. I'm going to prove you that you are who you say you are. They were his brethren. And he was going to prove it to them. He was going to prove them and prove himself to them. No chastening for the present. It's not joyous. I know that I'm looking at some folks tonight that's going through some tough trials. I know somewhat what a lot of you's going through. And no chastening for the present seems joyous. It's hard. It's hard to go through some of these things. Whether it's family or bodily or some trial with this world and its harshness, religion that opposes us. These things are hard. Every time we're proven. But all of these things that we're going through are for the glory of God. That's what we just sang. We're tried and afflicted, but he said, I'll never forsake you. But knowing, turn with me to Hebrews 11, knowing that these trials are grievous. We know that they're lovingly sent by the Lord. And truly, we would have it after we've pondered. Now, Brother Scott told me one time, I've told you this before. I'd gone through a trial. and heard some things from a doctor I didn't really want to hear. This is Scott's first words to me. He said, you know what? The hardest part is when you first hear it. Man, I bet you I've told that to so many people. Hardest part's when you first hear it. The Lord's grace is sufficient. Always is. Hebrews 11, 24, 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know, the trials and tribulations that we go through, they're always hard when we first hear them. Always. They're hard. But do you know, as by the grace of God we ponder and we consider and we pray and we seek the Lord's guidance, we ask the Lord for grace and mercy, when you ponder these things, knowing that they're sin of God, you wouldn't have it any other way. You wouldn't. You'd say, well, would you change it? No, because this is the Lord's will. I'm telling you, these brethren of Joseph are going to be proven, and we are too. We're going to be proven. What a blessed state of proof when it's found in an unworthy sinner that rejoices now to be the prisoner of the Lord. What a calling. What a calling. Who are you? I'm the Lord's prisoner. Joyfully, confessing myself to be bound with the glorious chains of his love. He's loved me with an everlasting love. And all that he does for me is going to be for my good and for his glory. He spewed out his wrath upon his son, bearing my sins. And now he's going to do me good. He's going to deal well with me. Scripture says when Paul and Silas were bound in the Philippian jail, they prayed and sang praises unto God. God's people love the truth that they're being kept secure in the prison of his grace. They're going to be proven. You're going to be proven. You're going to be tried. Your faith is going to be tried. And beloved, when the Lord's dealings with us seem harsh, let us remember. Lord, help me to remember. He has set us apart as heirs of glory. And he's going to lovingly, I think about this more and more, Neil, weaning us from this world. We're going to look forward to leaving this world. You will. You say, I don't see how that can be. I've seen it. I've heard believers that are dying say it. I'll be glad when I'm gone. I look forward to leaving this world. God is going to wean us from this world, and he's going to wean us by lovingly proving us and proving us and proving us by trials. Whom the Lord loveth, chasteneth and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. So he's seen fit to often cause us to wade the waters of trial to prove our faith, to show it, to test it, to show unto us. He sees it, but he's going to show us that he's faithful, and he will keep us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood before Nebuchadnezzar. He said, now, boys, evidently, y'all didn't hear what I said concerning the music. But when all these instruments start playing, you bow Because if you don't, I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace. And these boys said, King, let it be known today that we're not going to bow. We're not going to bow. By the grace of God, these boys being tried, their faith was proven. The Lord kept them. We're kept by the power of God through faith. You don't have enough. I don't have enough. I can't do that. I'm a weak and frail creature. I don't have the power to do that. Somebody talking about people who've got great faith. I'm telling you, you're looking at a frail, frail creature. But kept by the power of God through faith, our faith is going to endure. So hereby you shall be proved. But there was one other thing that Joseph told them. He said, by the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go forth hence except your youngest brother come hither. Now, Joseph making himself strange to these brethren, to his brethren. And he's speaking to them really as an Egyptian would speak by the life of Pharaoh. He's speaking, saying this by the one that's in greater authority than me. He said, except your youngest brother. He said, now, they had told him. They told him, you know, we're 10 brethren and our daddy's at home and we've got one young brother there with him and then our other brother's not. Jacob said, except your youngest brother come hither. You're not getting out of this prison. You're not leaving Egypt. Except your youngest brother come, you're going to be bound in this place right here. There was a son that was greatly beloved of their father Jacob, and his name was Benjamin. But what a picture of the beloved son of God. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Benjamin was a son that was looked over and guarded by his daddy Jacob. But the coming of that son, to where Joseph's brethren were being held, that was the only way they're getting out. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go hence, go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. That youngest brother was their only hope. That's all they got. I looked up these words, and here's the blessing in it. If we just read over that and just say, well, except you go get Benjamin, I guess, you know. But there was an adjective that was put in concerning that brother. It's got to be your youngest brother. Your youngest brother. Except your youngest brother come hither, you're not going to leave. Looking at that word, and you can look this up. I invite you to do this. It's such a precious thing to be able to look these words up. That word youngest right there, it means small, insignificant, little, least, less. But that word, youngest, is from a root word which means to feel loathing against self, to feel the loathing against self. Joseph's younger brother, Benjamin, was here a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Philippians 2:6. Knowing the meanings of those words, Philippians 2. Known it mean, it, what does youngest mean? Small, insignificant, little, least, less. Philippians 2, 6 to 8. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Lest your youngest brother come, that one that's small, insignificant, little, least, less, that one that is feel the loathing against himself. He made himself of no reputation, became a servant, laid down his life, forsaken of his father. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because you're holy. That's what he said. Almighty God, who abased himself and brought himself, humbled himself, to a state of servitude under his father. A servant. Look what he said of himself. Read Psalm 22. Except your youngest brother, the less, the least, the insignificant, the little, the small. Psalm 22, 6 to 8. Now these are the words of our Lord. The words of our Lord as he stood in the place of his people before the law. But I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he'd deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in it. That's the youngest brother. Joseph told these men, his brethren, he said, you're going to be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go forth hence. You're not getting out of this place of bondage. You're not getting out of Egypt. Except your youngest brother come hither. Almighty God was pleased, according to his everlasting covenant of grace, to send a Savior, call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. If your youngest brother doesn't come, you're going to be here. Brethren, accept the Lord Jesus Christ had come into this world and made himself, according to his words, a worm. The lowest, the least, the insignificant, humble himself, made himself of no reputation. I don't even know how to say it. That's what the word youngest means. Youngest. Not in age. He was the one in age, but the significance of that word. Except the youngest brother come, you're not leaving. Lord, thank you for coming in this world and making yourself what we, your people, are. By nature, you were made that, not as a sinner, but you made yourself sin. God made him sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I pray the Lord bless this to our hearts.